So we've been in a series, and it's Yes, Lord, Here I Am, right? And we're talking about this type of attitude that Christ has called us to have. And it's an attitude of being present, of being attentive, of being ready to engage the things of God. And it's hineni, right? Yes, Lord, here I am. It's a spiritual sense of being ready for a higher purpose, being ready for a higher purpose, being present in the moment. And the reason we wanted to do this is because it's so often for us to be somewhere, but to not be engaged in what God has for us. We sit in services like this and we look at our phones, right? And we check the box, like I went to church, but I didn't engage in what was there. I've been guilty of it multiple times. I too check out Pastor Rick and just check out of the moment. I don't hear anything he says, right? And I know this, you do it to me too, right? We're guilty of that because the world's distracting. We take out our phones, or we're here with people we love and we haven't seen, and we're so excited that they're present that we just spend the entire time conversing with them and being a distraction and drawing away from the message and what God has for us instead of engaging with the presence of God. And so we're talking about having this attitude, right, of being present, being spiritually ready, because God wants to do big things. God didn't just show up for something farther down the road that's out of our grasp and out of our reach. He showed up for something today. He wants to do something in each of our lives today. And that's especially important to us in recovery, right? Because we have destructive tendencies. Nobody can burn a life down better than me, right? And you probably feel the same about you, right? Nobody can turn your life into a dumpster fire better than you can. And so as we have these destructive tendencies and these destructive behaviors and things that we fall into, it's exceedingly more important for us to be spiritually ready, to be attentive, to be engaged, because we desperately need a move of God. I desperately need a move of God. I desperately need to feel his presence and to be drawn towards him. And so we're looking at six different people, and we've been going through this for a few weeks. We started with Abraham, right? And Abraham is kind of the father of our religion. God used him and used his bloodline to bring about a people group that would bring about a savior. And then we went from Abraham to Jacob. And Jacob was the father of the tribes of Israel, and he moved in mighty ways. And then last week we looked at Moses, and Moses delivered his people from captivity. And each of these men, the thing I love about them most is they were broken people. They failed. Abraham was a liar. Jacob was a liar. Moses was a murderer. And the thing that set them apart was not a perfect life, which is good news for me. It's probably good news for you because I can't do that. The thing that set them apart was this attitude, hineni. Yes, Lord, here I am, present, ready, and attentive. I may not be perfect. I may have a past. I may be showing up with baggage. I may be broken in so many ways, but Lord, I'm ready. I'm here. Whatever you want to do, God, I'll follow you. And so that's what we want to talk about, because it's so important for us, a broken people group, to be engaged, to be present, and to be ready for the things of God. And so tonight's message is titled this, Lessons from Samuel. Lessons from Samuel. We're going to be looking at the life of Samuel. And many of you have probably heard that name before, even if you haven't been in church very much, because we have two books of the Bible named after him, 1 and 2 Samuel. Samuel was one of the prophets, and he was a judge as well over Israel, which means he kind of presided before there were kings, because for the longest time, the nation of Israel did not have a king that ruled over them. God worked through judges, and Samuel was one of them. But Samuel's life is very interesting. As a young boy, he was dedicated to God. His mother, she would go to the temple with her husband, and she would weep over the fact that she didn't have any children. And she would weep, and she cried this out to God at one point, First Samuel 1:11, and it said this, she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. And so Hannah, Samuel's mother, she makes this vow that if God would just give her a child, that she would commit him to the Lord. And so we see this take place later. After Samuel was weaned, God granted her prayer, right? It moved in her life. And as Samuel became a young boy, toddler around four, he was taken and he was dedicated to this temple. Temple where the ark was kept, where the priest Eli worked with his sons. And so Samuel grows up in this type of environment, away from his mother, away from his father, but in the presence of God. He was brought to the tabernacle to serve under Eli, the priest. Even as a child, he was given his own tunic, a garment normally reserved for priests as he ministered before the Lord. It's so interesting, right? This young boy, and this is all that he knows. So different from us. I mean, I remember growing up. I grew up not far from here. I grew up in Catoosa, in the beautiful, beautiful countryside of old ghetto rolling hills. It was just immaculate, you know, and it was just a beautiful place to be. And I remember one day as a young boy, not much older than Samuel, we're playing baseball in the street, and we would spray paint bases on the pavement, because that's what you do in the ghetto, is you just spray paint bases. You don't need anything else. You just tag whatever you want. And as I'm out there and I'm playing outfield, which was the four-way intersection, and a man had walked past me, and not too long before that, he was jumped and stabbed to death. I didn't grow up like Samuel. Many of you probably didn't grow up like Samuel. Samuel grew up in the presence of God. And he didn't have a personal relationship with him, but he had an understanding of who God was. Samuel grew up here with Eli. He ministered before the Lord in the tent of meeting at Shiloh, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. But Samuel, though he was only a boy, served the Lord. He wore a linen garment like that of a priest. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew taller and grew in favor with the Lord and with people. He grew up in this environment. And the reason I contrasted the two of these is because he'd never heard from God. Not yet. And it wasn't even growing up in the temple that brought him to the place to hear from the Lord. He grew up and he did these things and he went through the motions for a long time. God wasn't really speaking to him yet. He was just there. And sometimes we're just there. We're just here. We're not engaged. We engage with the people next to us rather than with what's going on, right? Sometimes we're not present. But Samuel was. And the interesting thing about Samuel's life is he grew up with Eli's sons. Eli's sons were wicked. They grew up in the same environment. It wasn't a matter of culture. It wasn't a matter of raising. They were raised by the same man. And Eli's sons, they did not grow up this way. They did not grow in favor with the Lord or with the people. In fact, God took Eli's sons and struck them down, killed them. But Eli, he had a heart that said, "Yes, Lord, here I am." And oftentimes, we point to our environments and say, I just don't get it. You just don't know how I was raised. You don't know what I've been through. And we make all of these excuses, but it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with this here. Is it Hanani? Is it an attitude of, "Yes, Lord, here I am"? Are you willing to be used? And as these boys grew up, three of them, one became an incredible judge and mighty prophet used by God, and two were struck down for their wicked sinfulness. And it's an attitude of, "Lord, I'm willing and ready," that allows us to be used. In 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 3, we begin to see this unfold for him right? So as he's growing in the temple, he's ministering. Eli's becoming old. He's actually beginning to lose his sight in all of this. And Samuel is faithful, and he's faithful, and he's faithful, and he's present. And in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, it says, "Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli." Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark. Suddenly, the Lord called out to him, "Samuel." "Yes," Samuel replied, "what is it?" He got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. So he has this confusion, right? Because he's been in the presence, but he doesn't yet know God. And God calls out to him, and he gets confused, and he runs to Eli. He says, "Then the Lord called out again, 'Samuel.' And again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. 'Here I am. Did you call me?' 'I didn't call you, Eli, my son.'" Or, "my son," Eli said, "go back to bed." Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more, Samuel got up and he went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Look at that type of attitude, that type of response, that type of preparedness. God calls over and over and over again. And each time, even though he misses it, he just gets up immediately. He goes. Like he's just ready. He's just willing. That's his attitude. Even before knowing God or even knowing what's going on, he's just ready. And I find it interesting, too, in all of this, it doesn't talk about Eli's sons at all. But Samuel's there. "Yes, Lord, here I am." And he goes to him. So he went to Samuel. Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down. If someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak." Say that, say, "Speak. Speak. Your servant is listening." Samuel had this attitude that many of us struggle with because we want to do our own thing. We want to follow our own ways. I can't imagine how tempting it would have been for him to be raised in this house. And the man that's raising him here in the temple, his sons are running wild, and he's having to be steadfast and faithful. He's probably getting left with extra duties as they run out on their responsibilities. And all through the while, not getting a bad attitude, but always being prepared to hear and to receive, to be attentive, awoken from sleep multiple times. And I just hear all of this. And it just reminds me of times I've struggled where I would have been the boy ticked off at Eli's kids. Like, and dad's calling, they can get up. I wouldn't have got out of bed the first time. But he had this attitude of even in all of this, he was going to be the one to go. And he was going to be the one to sacrifice. He was ready. And all of these things going on that we could speculate about that could have drawn him away from listening to God's voice and experiencing his presence. And he just had this attitude of inane, spiritually ready to receive what God had for him. And he said, "Speak, your servant is listening." So tonight, I want to look at just a couple things about Samuel's life. Samuel lived a long life into old age, and he impacted the nation of Israel in a profound way that we'll get into in just a little bit. But to start off with, I want to go back to what we've already read. 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 3. We're going to throw it up here on the screen. And it says this, "Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare." Say that, very rare. Very rare. And visions were quite uncommon. And as I think about that, I think about our time now and the place that we live in. I get questioned a lot about, do miracles take place? Does God still speak to his people? And we kind of live in this time where we've become so stagnant And it's not that God's not moving. It's that we've stopped listening. It's not that God's not doing things. It's that we just walk around with blinders on. We chalk up great moves of God as products of our own effort or happenstance or luck. And as Samuel was growing up, he grew up in a time where visions were quite rare and messages from the Lord were very rare. It says, one night Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp had not yet gone out as Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark. So Samuel's near the presence. He's never heard from God, and he's pursuing, and these things don't take place. And point number one is this, here I am, that attitude, it allows us to hear from God when others do not. I want you to know, if you feel like God doesn't speak, it's not a God problem, it's a you problem. If you feel like that God isn't speaking to you in your life, again, it's a you problem. You're not pursuing the presence. Where was Samuel? Near the ark. Where was Samuel? Near the ark. What was the ark? It was the presence of God. That even as he slept, he was pursuing the presence. Without yet hearing from God, he was near the presence of God. The ark represented that. God among his people. It's what it was. The tabernacle was the place that people went to encounter the Spirit. And where was Samuel? Near the ark, pursuing the presence. And because of that, because he'd positioned himself well, and because he had an attitude of, yes, God, here I am, he heard from God when others did not. I think the reason God's voice is so rare in our generation is because we're so distracted. I won't do this because all of us pretty much would fail miserably. But if I were to ask, you know, who's read their Bible this week outside of church, I doubt many hands would go up. If I were to ask who spent a ton of time watching Netflix, I bet we have a lot. We don't pursue the presence. If I'd ask who's prayed, where would we be? Check your heart. Are you near the presence? Are you seeking him out? Or are you in a season where you think that God's not trying to communicate with you, or that he's indifferent in your situation, or somehow disconnected from life? Because again, if that's you, it's not a God problem. It's a you problem. We have to be engaged. We have to be seeking. We have to be in the presence. Here I am. It allows us to hear from God when others do not. John 10:27, it's not up here, but it says this, my sheep listen to my voice. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Now, you know, when we look at shepherds, it's interesting. I've heard teachings on this. I want to go pull up some videos, but the fact that if there was a flock of sheep and their shepherd, and they were surrounded by any number of other shepherds, it's amazing how the sheep can identify the one shepherd's voice among all of the distractions of the others. If they all called out, the sheep would identify their shepherd's voice from among the crowd. How do they get that way? It's an intimacy. They journey with the shepherd for a long time. They spend their days with the shepherd and the shepherd's care. And through this process of just being with each other day after day, night after night, they know their shepherd's voice. We struggle to hear God because we try to have a relationship with him based off an hour a week, 2 hours a week, 3 hours a week. And we spend more time hearing the voice of the world than we do pursuing the voice of God. But if we have that attitude, if we shift that mindset, and we go to, yes, Lord, here I am, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. It allows us to hear God's voice when others do not. Samuel heard from God when others did not. Again, it's interesting. Samuel wasn't the only one there. Now, maybe God spoke in a way that only he could hear. Sometimes I wonder, did he just call out? And Eli and his sons just didn't understand it. Was there a sound throughout the tabernacle that they just didn't quite get? Again, that's speculation, but sometimes I think that's what happens. We hear God, we just don't know. Like, what was that? Here I am, being in the presence, pursuing him. It allows us to hear from God when others do not. In 1 Samuel 3:19 through 20, we'll look at that for point number two. It says, as Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him. I love that. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him. And everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. And all Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. Here I am. It allows us to experience God's calling. Why did everyone know that Samuel was confirmed? Why did everyone know that Samuel was in his calling? The Lord was with him. Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him. Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him. So much of my life, I ran from God. I used to ponder before meeting Jesus, like, what's the meaning of all this? And like, I thought it was like this profound question, like that some great philosopher must have the answer to. What is the meaning of life? Looking back, I just feel like an idiot. Because again, as we encounter Jesus, there's so much clarity there. And it's just like, well, that was a really stupid question. The answer is really simple. God gave us the answer forever ago. But it's in the presence of God, an attitude of here I am, that we get to experience God's calling. If Samuel had pursued other avenues, if he'd been indifferent to God, what if he'd slept away from the ark? What if he had laid down his responsibilities? Would we be reading about him today? Would he have been this great judge, this great prophet that did these things? Or would he have a different story? Would his story have looked like that of Eli's sons, where they indulged their flesh, seduced women, stole offerings, and died a horrible death because of their choices? But here I am. It allows us to experience God's calling. And I know this, the thing that I've learned as I've grown to love and to know Jesus is that he has a calling for every single person. Every single person. I want you to do this. I want you to look to the person next to you and say, you're called. 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 Sometimes, and I used to think this, I used to look at the pastor on the platform and think, man, he's called. I wish I was called. You're called. We're all called to different things. And here I am, it allows us to experience our calling. Oftentimes, we feel so discontent and dislodged from life, and we have this feeling of emptiness and inadequacy because we're not ready for the God's presence. We're not attentive. We're not engaged in anything that has to do with him. We're only engaged in our flesh. And C.S. Lewis tells us that there's a God-sized hole in each of us. And it's only by being in this presence, this having this attitude of hineni that we can feel that, right? It's through Jesus. And then Samuel experienced God's calling because, again, the Lord was with him. And God will be with you. His word says, come close to me and I'll come close to you. But if we run from him, we're running from our calling, and our life has this emptiness. I look back at decisions I've made, and there's been seasons of my life I've made more money, I've done what I've wanted to do. I indulged every desire I could possibly desire, right? Everything of the flesh. I was so empty. Just so miserable. It brought me nothing. But as I came close to him, he came close to me, right? The presence of God. I came to know his voice and do my darndest to follow him and to have that type of attitude, and I experienced my calling. And my calling is not this. This is a part of it. The thing I'm called to more than anything is to be a child of God, to be chosen by him. We're all chosen. God wants to be with us, redeemed. We're called to be the visible image of an invisible God among our people, to be living epistles. And we're purposed for something. And in that, God's dealt with so much. And through that, God broke chains of addiction in my life by introducing me to my identity, my calling, and my purpose, and moving me to this place. But it started with this attitude. Amy, yes, Lord, here I am. And when we have that, we get to experience our calling. It allows us to experience our calling. It says, they knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord, because the Lord was with him, because Samuel was ready. He was attentive. He was present for the things of God. It allows us to experience God's calling. I want us to turn to 1 Samuel 16:1 and kind of look at this last point. As time went on and Samuel grew up, unfortunately, his sons did not share his same type of attitude for God. In fact, they resembled Eli's sons more than they resembled Samuel. And they too did wrong and perverted the things of God. And because of that, as Samuel grew, the people cried out to him and they honored Samuel. It's like, Samuel, you've been such a great judge, but you're old, right? You know, life ends, like you've got an expiration date. And they began to demand that they have a king like other people. Again, when we're looking at this, they were in a season of judges. There were no kings. God appointed judges to rule over the people. And they said, we want a king like the other nations have. We want to be ruled over like everyone else. And so Samuel said, that's stupid. You guys are idiots. Let me go pray about it. And God said, hey, if they want to be morons, give them over to their idiocracy and they can just do whatever they want. That's the Shaw paraphrase there. And so that's what happened. And so God says, if this is what you want, this is what we'll do. And so Samuel is sent out by God to anoint their king of Israel. And so the first king of Israel is a guy named Saul. And so Samuel went out and, or didn't go out actually, in this instance, Saul was brought to him. And through that, he's anointed. And Saul starts off strong, but ultimately gives in to his fleshly desires and he fails miserably. And God removes his anointing. And then we have the next guy in line. And so in 1 Samuel 16:1, after God had removed the anointing from Saul, and Samuel's kind of mourning all this because he'd grown close to him, it says, now the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem and find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king. If you've been in church any amount of time, you're beginning to see some familiarity in this story, right? You're like, Jesse, I've heard that name. Jesse is David's dad. Samuel was the man that anointed King David. And so God says, this is what I want you to do, and I want you to go find this. And point number three is this: it allows us to participate in God's service, our purpose. Here I am allows us to participate in God's service, because it was through this moment And through this act of obedience, and Samuel, even though he's mourning something and his heart is grieving about what's taking place, he's so willing and ready to serve God that he obeys God and he goes and does this, and he goes to the house of Jesse and he finds David and anoints David. And through David and his bloodline and the kingdom that's established there, we eventually have the Messiah. Jesus is brought, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer. Isn't that amazing? That this young boy who's dedicated to the Lord, who works in the tabernacle, because at a young age he had an attitude of, yes, Lord, here I am. He got to be a part of the redemption of mankind. Isn't that amazing? And here I am. It allows us to participate in God's purpose. I don't know about you, but I want to do big things for God. I don't want me to be big. I just want to participate. Like just ride the coattails of God's great work. I mean, it's so cool because I look back at my life again and I started off with a story. Poor kid, trashy neighborhood, spray painting bases on the street. And I just want to have an attitude of, yes, Lord, here I am, because I just want the purpose of God to be worked out in any way in my life. I want to be a part of something great because God's done such great things. I mean, we look at the way that God moved through Samuel. He wants to move through your life the same way. He wants you to experience your calling. And in that, through your calling, he wants to work out his purpose. And when we have this attitude, God will take anybody. He'll take the uneducated kid from Catoosa who dropped out of school in 10th grade. Again, who can hardly say words beyond two syllables. Like, I don't speak well. I struggle. I have so many inadequacies. I'm temperamental. I cuss when I get mad. I'm not proud of it. I fall short all the time. I speak down to people when I'm angry. I'm rude. I look back at things I do and I'm like, not a good person. And it's probably your story too, right? We have this weight, but God redeems it all. God moves through it all. If we just surrender, we get to experience his calling, the redemption of Christ. We get to become his sheep. And he elevates us not for our sake, right? As we humble ourselves, he just works out his calling in our lives. I never ever would have thought I get to do any of the things I get to do. And there was a season of my life I pursued so adamantly the things that I wanted. I wanted great things, big things, and I thought that was big house, lots of money, wild vacations, and things like that, right? And when I surrendered it all and changed my attitude, I found out what great things are. Great things is journeying with you guys, having meaningful relationships with people in this community that I love. I sat around a circle last night and I listened to grown men tell incredible stories about what God was doing in their lives. And some of them wept this weekend, down in this front row. That's so amazing and so much bigger than us. And Samuel, because he had this attitude, he got to be a part of God's purpose. And if we chase our purpose, it ends in dope houses, it ends in adultery, it ends in the casino, it ends in brokenness, despair, misery, hatred. We know where it ends, but when we have a different attitude, we get to experience God's purpose. Samuel anointed David. I love verse 12 and 13. So Jesse sent for David. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. So David stood there among his brothers. Samuel took out the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. And Samuel returned to Ramah. Like, seemingly insignificant moment probably in Samuel's life. Like, He's like, here we are again. We're doing. I just anointed this other guy. It was a failure. And he didn't get to fully realize what God was going to do through this moment. Through this moment, God brought about the bloodline that led to Jesus Christ. How beautiful is that? And when you change that mindset and you move to that place of surrender, just imagine the waves we get to make down the road. We have these moments, these encounters, and we get to experience God's purpose. I wanted you to do this. I want you to bow your head, and I want you to close your eyes. And we've done this every time in different ways. But the purpose behind it is for us to get used to listening to God. You know, when we pray, if you're like me, often you just talk and then you say amen. And you never sit there. I hardly ever sit there and say, now God, speak. I've poured out my heart. Speak, Lord. So if there's something going on in your life that's burdening you tonight, could be anything. You know what it is. I have no doubt that there's not a single person in here that doesn't have something weighty. So if you have something weighty tonight, I want you to do this. I want you to pray a short prayer just about it. Lord, this is what's going on. And this end it with, speak, God, your servant's listening. And just take a moment and endeavor to hear the voice of God. Okay, and if you're not hearing God speak, keep doing this. Keep going to him. Keep pursuing him. Keep laying down by the ark. Keep picking up your Bible. Keep praying, because God speaks. God speaks to his people. God speaks to his followers. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So just pray, speak, God. Your servant is listening.